Well, it's good. I really enjoyed. I would say that, you know, Joyce is my cousin. Praise God. You know, Brother Higgin is my dad, eh? And I have a black brother, lives in California. His name is Dr. Fred Price. That's my brother. So we all family. Amen. Thank you, Sister Bev, who's a pastor's with her husband there in Geraldton. We're so happy for them. We're just so excited about them. We love them when they left here. We just didn't want to leave them go. But look at them now. They have a ministry there, and it's not easy. Bev, it's not easy. It's never easy, but the best place to be in life is where God wants you. Amen? Amen? So a lot of times I tried running away, Bev. Don't try that. And it's always good to stick with the Lord. Yeah. Amen? We always think it's more exciting somewhere else. Yeah. What am I looking for? Looking for my wallet. My wife has it. Yeah, thank you. but, you know, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. You know, right? So you try something, you know, it looks easy. I think I'll try that. Well, it's not about trying something or think you're going to try something. It's about what God wants you to do. Even if you became very successful in life, how many people know that you can take God's principles and apply them to secular ideas? Come on now. Come on, people. And you can apply that and be successful. But in the end, you will stand before Jesus and he's going to ask you what you did. Yeah, you made lots of money. Yeah, you did the deals and you made this and did that. But if it doesn't amount to things of God, it'll be burnt up. According to the scripture anyway. So there's several scriptures that say that. And but we have to be, you know, so many times we get into trouble. It's better when you're in trouble, if you're having a hard time in life, financially, relationship-wise, physically, and any other area in life, it's better to know you're in the will of God. Amen. Because you know that's the best place for you. Now, sometimes we get attacked for many reasons, maybe sometimes because we've been disobedient, not because we've committed a great sin, but because we left things undone. We didn't follow God exactly the way we should have, like prayer. If God asks you to pray, how many people know that disobedience is sin? The Bible says that him that knows to do good and him that does it not, to him it is sin. And I remember Brother Hagin giving us a story years ago. And, of course, he was in the ministry for a number of years then. And the Lord asked him to do teaching along a certain line. And he wouldn't do it because he was comfortable doing something else. And because you can't always do something because you're always comfortable with it. Sometimes you have to break out of your mold. And so he decided that he didn't want to do that. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And he suffered a heart attack in church before he's ministering. And the Lord said to him, the reason why you got a heart attack is because you disobeyed me when I told you to do this. And you went and did this. And he said, I told you a number of years ago when you disobeyed me, or when I laid my hands on you, I gave you some instructions. He said, lay hands on your chest, and you'll be healed. And he was healed because he said, I felt that warm glow on my own hands going into my chest and healing my own body. And so we need to be obedient. I remember years ago, I followed Benny Hinn for a number of years because I was led to do it. I would travel to different areas. I would go to Philadelphia or Tulsa or Minneapolis or Tampa or Miami, wherever he was doing crusades, and I felt led to go, Holy Ghost meetings. And I went, and he told us a story that that he had a heart attack. He was, after a Sunday morning, he was feeling very sick, and he went to take a shower, and he fell, and he had a heart attack, basically. And so they rushed him to the hospital, and he went to the hospital, and the doctor, one of the doctors said, you know, you need to go to the Merge, and went to the Merge, and he checked him out, a doctor says, you know, you got something wrong with your valve, and you need to stay in the hospital. He said, "Hey, I'm on a crusade. I might have to go on a crusade. I can't stay." He said, "Well, if you go, it's up to yourself. You could die anytime." And so he said, the doctor said, "Okay, you need to stay in the hospital." So they kept him in the hospital. And while he's in the hospital, he's laying there. The doctor went out of the room, and suddenly there appears Jesus in his room. And the Lord said to him, "You're thinking about quitting the ministry. And I asked you to go to ministry, and you need to stay. Stay where I put you. Stay where I called you. And because you're deciding to do something else." And this was right before his big crusades. Before his crusades, he would try different things. He would do this. He would have no response. And yet he had a great anointing, great calling in his life. And he never had any response. He would have crusades in his city where he was, and hardly anybody would come. But while he was in that hospital, the Lord said to him, if you would obey me, I'll bless your ministry. If you stay where I tell you to stay, do what I tell you to do, you'll have a great ministry." And so the Lord disappears, and he said, "I would do it. I consecrate." Hey, this is the reason why you need to consecrate your life. You know, consecration is important. I said, consecration is important. If you know what that means, it's a fancy word, but just giving yourself over totally to God. That's what the word is. Consecration means, "God, you can have my life again. I took my life back unknowingly because I want to do certain things, and I took my life back." That's the prayer we call the prayer of submission and dedication. That's in the Bible, the prayer of dedication, submission to God. When Jesus said, "Father, may your will be done. Not my will, but yours be done." That's the prayer. So, so he made that dedication to God. And the same thing with Brother Hagin when he had that heart attack. Another time he had the same, Brother Hagin, going back to his story, he was in church again preaching, and he fell off some kind of platform, and it wasn't too big, but he hurt his arm and he went to the hospital. One of the ladies in the service was one of the senior medical people from the, I guess, one of the hospitals. She said, "We better call so-and-so. Dr. So-and-so is here. He'll check that out." They called him out. Went to the hospital. Found out his elbow seemed like it was just damaged so badly. And they said, "You know what? I got good news and bad news." "I don't like that, you." He said, "The good news is you didn't break your arm. The bad news is this situation is worse than breaking your arm." He said, "This is going to take several months to prepare this, to put this back in place." And he's busy. He's traveling around all over the place from preaching the gospel. We said, "How can a guy, preacher, saw Jesus a few times and in the ministry? How could he have that happen to me?" Well, how come it happened to you? How come those things are happening to you? Well, anyway, the Lord, he said, the doctor left the office, and here I'm in my thoughts in the hospital. I'm lying there, and he said, all of a sudden, I hear footsteps coming down the hall and coming through the room, and there comes Jesus. He walks in the room, closes the door behind, and grabs a chair, sits down, puts the chair between his legs, and starts talking to Brother Hagin. And he said to him, the reason why this happened is because I told you, to do such and such." And he says, if you'll obey me, this is all healed up, and I want you to obey me when you go back to Tulsa, do these things I told you to do." So anyway, he said, "Medicine and prayer will get this done. But you're not going to get healed instantly. It's going to take some time for you to be healed. So I want you to go back and do what I told you to do." But there's some good lessons. I mean, these are things that we have to do. Sometimes we disobey God, especially when you know what to do. I think it's the 14th chapter of Romans, the last verse of Scripture. He says that him that knows to do good does it not to him it is sin. So all disobedience is sin. When you know something to do something, like giving God money or giving God time or giving God prayer or giving God service work or whatever it is, it's disobedience to God. And so we need to get our lives aligned with God and His will. How many people know the perfect will is the best place to be? Amen. Can you say amen? Come on over there. We need to get excited about the Word of God, you know. Thank God for the moving of the Spirit. I appreciate that, you know. The Holy Ghost will move in line with His Word. And that's what He'll do. And thank God, you know, I thank God for special meetings and all that. But you can't have special meetings all week by yourself. You can have the presence of God yourself, and you can have the Word of God by yourself. So I appreciate the Word of God. I tell God, you know, I tell Him all the time when I remember. I said, Lord, I just appreciate Your Word. I just lift my hands in Your name, Lord. I want to thank You for the Word of God. I want to thank You the Word of God is working in my life. I don't know. I don't feel like it right now. It doesn't even look like it right now, but I know You're working for me right now. Praise God. Amen. I know the Word is working for me. Everybody stand up for a second. Hallelujah. We're going to practice this. I want you to begin to lift your hands and thank God because the Word is working in your life. Amen. Come on, people. Come on, people. Let's go ahead and thank Him and praise Him and say, oh, God, I want to thank You that the Word is working in my life. I want to thank You. You're doing things in my life right now. You're turning things around for me. You're making things come for me. You're stopping things from happening in my life right now. Hallelujah. Angels are around me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My body is coming in line. Thank You, Jesus. My mind is my mind, and I'm thinking right. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise You for the. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Word of faith. I'm going to learn this morning. I'm going to address things in more this morning. Thank You, Father. Things are changing for me because I'm addressing the things in my life that I need to. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. The Word of God is good. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles. I had this check in my spirit. I got some notes here. I got a few notes, things to help me out to read. And I've got the note. Did you get that note there? Well, I gave that. I thought I gave this note to pass it on to you on Wednesday. So, Luke, I am going to help you right now because I love you and I will never forsake you. So I'm going to send it to you right now. Appreciate you. Let's give Luke a great hand. Yeah. Praise God. Appreciate you, Luke. He's the if you don't know Luke, he's the enthusiastic guy that jumps around, dances, looking silly and everything else for Jesus. Amen. That's not bad. You don't mind. You know, when you love God, you don't mind. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You don't mind getting drunk every once in a while, looking real funny, crying, snorting out and everything. Right? Glory to God. I want you to turn in your Bible just for a moment. This is kind of deviation from my notes there, Luke. James chapter 5. If you'd go there, James chapter 5. I want to talk to you about, we're talking about a subject. We're kind of combining different things, you know, authority and righteousness. And we're talking about that, putting it together. Those two topics together, and we're calling this reigning in life, right? So we're looking at some things here from the scripture. So I'll give you some more information in a moment, just to keep you adjusted to what we're doing. James chapter 5, and here James, you know, this is the brother of Jesus, and he knew some things. Thank God. Let's go to verse 13. I want to show something here about righteousness, because that is our topic, righteousness and authority. And we're talking about reigning in life. You know, reigning in life. You know the word reign itself in the scripture? It's associated with kingship. It's associated with authority. And we use the scripture, Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17 says, you know, if I just take the phrase out of that verse 17 of chapter 5 of Romans, it says, we reign, it says the King James, we reign in this life. Everybody say this life. It means the one that you have right now. You only have one life here, okay? Not nine, like a cat or whatever, okay? So he said, we rule in this life by one Jesus Christ, and he refers to righteousness. Because of the gift of righteousness, we rule or we reign or you dominate or you have authority in your own life, not only your own life, but the decisions you make, but circumstances that have you bound, that demonic forces maybe have caused adversity in your life. We need to begin to believe God for help along those lines. And Jesus said that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He's not talking about heaven where God is. He's talking about the heavens where the angelic demonic forces are arrayed against you to bring, evil. He said, we rule and reign, you know. And so he says, whatever you bind on earth, wherever you are, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That word bound or bind means to call unlawful or to prohibit. A lot of times we knowingly or unknowingly, that's over in Matthew after, over Matthew 16, Matthew 18 talks about somebody's binding and loosing. Now, whatever, you know, we can open our lives up for attacks in our own lives because of the decisions that we make. I just gave you two instances of two big men of God that allowed something to attack their lives physically. And, as you become older, how many people know as you become older as a Christian, as a person of God, you don't have as much leeway in making decisions. As a 10-year-old boy, you can make more bad decisions than someone who's 26 years old. And sometimes if you look at someone who's 26, I mean, come on now, take a look at your life when you were 26 and what you were doing. And we look at our children or somebody and that is just born again, we said, you shouldn't be doing that. What's wrong with you? You ought to be, serving God and having a ministry by now, casting devils out or something. Huh? But it takes time to grow spiritually, just as much as it takes time to grow naturally speaking. So we would allow a 10-year-old, a teenager, maybe a young adult, some leeway, in their lives, perhaps, other than if you compare them to some elder or someone that's been in spirituality for some time. So sometimes we do make mistakes because we are ignorant or uneducated about spiritual matters, and we do things that cause our own problems. And then we look to God to help us, but God is looking to you to help yourself. Come on now, everybody lift that hand up and say, thank God, I can help myself. Come on, say, thank God, I can help myself. I can feel faith arising, praise God, amen. There's nothing better than unison or unity or agreement or oneness. How many more words I could use? And so let's go to our scripture. Okay, so I said, let's go to our scripture. I get carried away a little bit, guys. Okay, so James chapter 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? That means if you're having any tough times, he's giving questions and answers, a little rhetorical, maybe. He says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. That means let him do his own praying. Is any among Mary? Let him sing psalms. And I like this, Brother Hagin used to tell us about that. When you're happy, you don't call your friends and say, hey, I'm really happy today. Can you sing for me? Hey, man, yes, you're really happy. At 3 o'clock in the morning, you get happy in the Lord, call your friend up and say, hey, sing for me, brother. But we do this when we have trouble emotionally or financially, we got trouble, so we call our friends, our best friends, maybe somebody who we admire, and we ask them to pray for us. But God is telling us to do something about it. Amen? And so is any sick among you? That's the question that he had. Now, It wasn't supposed to be. That question actually is a question that there shouldn't be, but if there, in case there's somebody really sick, if someone's sick, really, really sick. So there shouldn't be. That's the question that he's asking. But somebody said, if you ask the modern church, everybody's sick. It's something. Okay. But is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, when you look at this, these scripture here, and look at the actual what he's saying, this is talking about somebody so sick. How many people know that you can get so sick you can't even whisper a prayer? You're so much in pain you can't even whisper a prayer. This is the kind of sick he's talking about. He's not talking about if you got a flu and you got a stomach ache, you know, let's go and get some, slap some oil on me. Call for some of your strongest, biggest, best, mean, baddest elders. Send them over my house and pray for me. This is cool talk, okay? I'm trying to talk in modern language. So anyway, he's not talking about these Christians running around asking everybody, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. This is not what he's talking about. Because this is the habit that's going around in churches. They're asking everybody to pray for them when they're supposed to do their own praying. You take care of your own life, your own spiritual life. I'm not responsible for your spiritual stupidity. God has given you books and given you tapes, preachers on television every day, every week, and you're still not learning anything. Huh? And so we need to take authority and start doing something for our own spirituality. Huh? So, excuse me sometimes for being this way, because I teach like this. Okay, I kind of try to help people, wake people up. So, let them pray over them, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith, not unbelief. Not the prayer of maybe or the prayer of if it be thy will. There's no, if you pray the prayer of faith, there's no word that says if it be thy will. It's faith. That's the way it is. Praise God. Amen. So the prayer of faith shall save. The word save, it means heal there. The prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Notice that, raise him up. That's referring to someone way back there who's so sick that he couldn't do anything for himself. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. What a good Lord we have. Confess your faults to one another. How many of you have a few faults? We better confess them. Amen. Don't tell me I've got enough. Okay. So it says, please pray for me to come to the healing line. And preachers, you know, if you've ever been praying for people, they say, they want you to pray for them. And they tell you all their sins, and you're, please don't tell me anymore. I'm trying to stay in faith here. So it says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, it says that you know, when you pray for people, whatever you do for someone else, God will make happen for you. Huh? Whatsoever man sows, that's what he'll reap. When you start praying for someone else, God will heal you. And so the Bible says when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord healed him. Huh? The Lord healed him. Praise God. And he was really sick too. No? Somebody said, people know more about Job's boils than healing scriptures. Huh? They know more about their expert. They got a PhD in Job's boils. Huh? What about, they specialize in Paul's thorns. They know more about Paul's thorns. But praise God, he says in here, he says, pray for another that you may be healed. Notice this, the effectual fervent prayer. This is James 5:16, the second verse is what we're looking at. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. How many righteous people we got? Let me see your hands. Oh. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The King James doesn't render this the way we need to see it. The Amplified, though, does, you know, takes the key word in the verse from translates it from the original language, the Greek there, put it into our day language. He says in there, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. That's the kind of prayer the righteous man makes when praying for the healing of the sick or anything else. The prayer of a righteous man. So the thought of this here, I want to zero in on this kind of thought right now. And that is, people say, yeah, I wish I was that righteous man. If I was only a righteous man, I could pray that prayer. Man, I'd just be a winner every time. You know, I wish I was a righteous man. You know, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you are the righteousness in Christ Jesus, that Jesus made you righteous. Amen. And right now, you are righteous. Amen. Whether you know it or not, you stand before God. Just as if you that Adam sinned before, or Adam stood before God before he ever sinned. If that dawned on us, we would be so effectual in our prayer life. We need to know how to pray. We need to know how to stand and believe God for things in our lives. I want to show you something, how to take authority in your life this morning. How to take authority in your life over adverse circumstances that are coming your way to distract you, to destroy your life. The Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, destroy. He wants to steal everything good in your life. He wants to disturb you so much that you take a 10-year, 20-year journey down a path with no blessings in it, so that you can delay the call of God and the blessings of God in your life. He'll distract you so much to get you away from the things of God and make things appear like it's better over there, away from God. And many people are on that path, and they're Christian people. They took a detour because they're frustrated, because they're resentful at someone, or they're mad at the world, or mad at the government, or whatever it is. They're so mad, they're gone another direction and looking to man for their answers. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I want to take that word righteous and talk about it a little bit in terms to our authority in our lives. And then he says, notice this, he compares the righteous man who can pray the prayer of faith to change things and to make healing come. He compares that person in the New Testament like the man called Elijah. He was a great prophet who prophesied things about Jesus and so forth. And when he talked about, you know, by his stripes you're healed and so forth, that, you know, Matthew quotes Isaiah and Matthew 8:17, that himself took our infirmities, bore our sickness and diseases, by his stripes we're healed. He says Elijah was a man subject to like passions like we are. Like Elijah could get mad if he would get upset and so on, just like you and me. Yeah. All right? And so he would get scared too about different things, and he'd run away from things. And then he says in there, he prayed earnestly. If you look further up, he says the fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's the fervent prayer of a righteous man, not just a casual prayer. Lord, bless him. You know, how many people know that there are certain situations in our life with our families, it doesn't take, oh, just bless him, Lord, help him. It takes more than that kind of prayer to help out your children, to stand with them, to stand against the things that have your husband or has your child or has your wife or whatever it is in your life. It takes more than, Lord, help them. Help them, Lord. Help them. He said, that's what I'm trying to do. Get out of the way. And so it takes more time than that. It takes this fervent prayer. It takes white hot fervency, passion to stand. It takes us some time to stand. Sometimes you have to stand for a while to see things change, because people's will is involved. Until you can sustain yourself to pray and to help people to get to a place where they can make a decision in their life to say yes or no, then you can let go. and start praising God. Well, I mean, you should praise God anyway. Hallelujah. I just feel like I'm following what God's told me this morning. I left my notes, and I'm following where God wants me to go this morning to talk to people. Those of you online, you need to get to church. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Get to a church where you can help out. You know, sometimes people watch my program and they tell me things, you know, they don't understand what I said, and sometimes they get upset. Sometimes, you know, they like it and so on, and then sometimes they don't say anything. Yesterday, I had to go. I mean, some crazy things have been happening to me the last several weeks that I don't want to talk about. Well, one thing, I got to tell you a funny story. You want to hear a funny story? Okay. I was in my office with Tuesday with our two pastors, Dave and Pastor Ken. We're sitting there, and I was having back problems. And I don't know what happened. John, I don't know what happened. Have you ever had a back problem? It hurts, man. I couldn't sleep for two nights comfortably. I would wake up every hour, and I'm fighting this thing, you know, standing, praise God, taking authority over my back, wondering what I did with it. And so after two extra more days after that, it was not too bad, but it was still bothering me all day long. This is the fifth day now. I'm sitting in my office, and I'm talking to the pastors there, So I had my phone on there, and I said, you know what, I got to call a massage therapist. I don't know, who do I call? So, okay, I Googled it, and, you know, massage therapist in Thunder Bay, bang, bang, bang. I pressed the thing, and, oh, there's one come up. Oh, this looks like a good one. Okay, bang, I called it. Hello, hi, my name is Roma Fisher. And, I got a horrible back problem here. I got a back situation. I need to get this done right away. I need something, help right away to relieve this pain. And the person said, all right, okay, yeah, where are you? I said, I'm on Black Bay Road. And we looked at each other and said, this person will come to here. Come over here. I said, oh, okay, praise God. Huh? You know, I'm just getting happy right now. and I had money in my pocket too. And, they called me. So they said, and the person said, okay, do you have your horse with you? I said, horse? I look at the two guys and say, horse? What are you talking about, horse? He said, because this was a horse doctor, okay? A horse doctor. So, a horse. So they were going to come to help me out with my horse. So asking me, where is my horse? Well, this is a funny story, right? Things can get out of hand real quickly. hallelujah. Anyway, but there's more stories to that back I got to tell you about later on, okay, when everything gets solved. Okay, so back again to reality. It came, okay, so Elias prayed passionately. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again that heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, any of you do err from truth, blah, blah, blah. No, we want to stop there because he prayed. So he likens us, he compares us to the powerful prayer of a great prophet. He says that you and I are compared to a great prophet who brought rain down. And his prayers were answered because he prayed fervently. And so we need to see, how does this work in my life? And there are things that are bothering people that are so bothersome in your life or in our lives, all of us. There are situations that come against our lives that it bothers us so much that we cannot hardly serve God the way we want to. Can anybody say amen? Okay, so that's what happens, right? I know the devil wants to distract you. If he can't stop you, he'll distract you for several months, several years, or even a decade to stop you and slow you down so that you will not go full force with God. He'll try to steal money away from you so that he'll hinder you from getting blessings that God wants you to have, and he'll stop you and he'll hinder you for years and years even sometimes so that you won't follow God the way you're supposed to. But God wants all of us. He wants us to serve him 100%. And that the best place to be is in Him, in what God wants, where He wants us. So that whole verse of Scripture, we want to get this idea out of it. Oh, I wish I could pray like a righteous man like that. I wish I could pray like Elijah. I wish I was like him. I wish I was like that righteous man that he's talking about right here that makes prayer powerful and effective and make power come from God, from heaven. So we have been talking about the subject here, righteousness and authority. We talked about, we said this was right to reign. So I want to talk about ruling in righteousness. And so we gave you Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And we got out of that scripture that Jesus has all power. When he rose from the dead, he got all power back. How many people know we told the story from the scriptures last time we met together that Adam was given the authority on earth? He was given full authority. Adam was given authority to be the God of this world. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, God says, let's give man dominion, and let's make him in our likeness. And he gave him dominion. But he disobeyed God. In chapter 3, we found that he disobeyed God, and he lost his place. Everybody say, he lost his place. In righteousness and authority, God wants to restore your place in him. Everybody say, God wants to restore my place. God wants me to be restored back to authority. See, when we step back, when we see this in Adam. Adam was given authority in Genesis, and by chapter 3, we saw that he lost his place by disobedience, and he sinned. And the Bible says, when we see this thing unfold for us even more fully over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. We see in Luke chapter 4 verse 6 that Jesus was tempted by the devil. The devil told Jesus, listen, Jesus, he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, all the riches and all the power, whatever it was in there. He showed him in a moment of time. This happened spiritually. And then he told Jesus, listen, Jesus, if you would bow down before me, I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to share this power with you because I can give it to whomever I wish. That's what he said. And Jesus, in his humanity, had to say no. Just like you and I have to say no. Jesus showed us everything that happened to Jesus Christ on this, in this world, everything that happened to us shows us how and what we can do when we face the enemy. If you and I don't look face to face with death, with sickness, with disease, with lusts, with addictions, whatever it is, if you don't look the devil in the eye and say, you know what, I'm not budging, you're not having me, I'm stopping this right now. If you don't do that, if you can't do that, you're going to have problems for a long time. You must resist the devil. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, resist the devil. The Bible says resist means you're going to push back and hold him back and stop him. And he'll flee from you. So we have to be able to take our place. There are several scriptures in the Bible that tells us to resist the devil, to use your faith against him and so forth. 1 Peter chapter 5 talks about it there. And verse 8 and 9, it says that whom resist steadfast with your faith. Right? It says that we should bind the enemy and take authority over him. If you couldn't do that, then why would God tell you to do that? Why would James say something? Why would Peter say something? Why would Jesus say, do that? We can take our place. We can rule in this life. Now, he tells Jesus that, all this authority will I give you if you bow down to me. Because, he says, listen to this. He says, because that has been delivered unto me. Well, who delivered it? Well, Adam did. He unknowingly did it. He was tricked into doing it. He was deceived into doing it. Just like you and me can be deceived, not even realize that we give authority over the enemy in our lives. That's why the devil is the devil. Yeah. He doesn't say, hey, I'm the devil. Right? He doesn't show up like that. He says, I'm the devil. I'm going to take over here, and I'm going to try to do my best to kill you right now. No, he just goes away. He tells you, go ahead and eat all that, those pies tonight. Okay, it's okay to eat those pies tonight. You know, and he'll come slowly. He'll make his way. He's sly. Jesus said he's so sly, deceptive. He comes in there, and he tries to, sit down with you, watch television, and eat chips and everything. And he'll talk to you about stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's all he is. He's very sly. And so he said he was delivered unto him through Adam. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, Psalm chapter 8, that God, the psalmist says, he says, what is man that you desire of him? What is man that you love man so much? That you even made man a little bit lower than yourself, giving him honor and glory, and you gave him authority over everything. That's a picture of us, and that's how we could how we have been made, that we've been given authority. Amen. And so, the scriptures tell us so many things there that the devil lies, and he wants to blind you, and if he can get you into a little bit of sin, doing certain things, he can blind you and cause guilt to come in your life and condemnation, so that your prayers are not going to be effective the way it should be. Enjoy a little bit of this and there, and it's not really, sinning. He says it's okay, it's all right. Then you get that in your heart and condemn you, and it stops your faith from working the way it should be. Amen. And then fear comes in and so forth. And he wants to stop. He wants to stop you. At least, if anything else, hinder you for several years until you miss opportunities. Because naturally, you can't be, 26 anymore. But you can be 46. And start again. Thank God for his mercy, right? His mercy endures forever. Everybody say, his mercy endures forever. So, Matthew 28, we talked about the power. Jesus, all power is given to me. He said, now you go. Then he says over there in Luke 10:19, all power is given to me. I'll give you power over the enemy, so forth and so on. He tells him, now go. We told you about the two words of power there. One means authority, it's exousia, and the other one is dunamis, which is ability. I'm going to give you ability over the enemy, he says. Then we talked about in Colossians 1, and Paul is praying for the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. He said that we've been delivered. Not going to be, not going to try to be, that there's a possibility there. He said, you already delivered. Everybody say, I am delivered.
I am delivered.
So you have to know that I am delivered. Devil, you can't touch me. You're not supposed to touch me. Jesus, the Bible says that God purchased my body as well. And so we've been delivered from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We're in his kingdom, the kingdom of his son. So if we're going to be free from the entrapments of the enemy, we got to know who we are. Amen. What right do we have as a citizen of this fine city? We have some rights. We have some rights, So I have a little punch thing. I go into my gym. I just punch that number, and I can just go in. My picture comes up. Okay, you're fine. So you can't take my number and say, you're me. They'll stop you. Okay, say, yeah, you're not him. Come on back here. They say, no, I had a facelift. New hairdo. So the word authority, as our definition, means delegated power. And we show that illustration that when a police officer, when I came driving down, there's three officers across my house. What are they doing there? Well, they're watching over me. Yeah, three police cruisers out there, and they're doing different things. So, but if he went like this, you don't just wave by and drop by. If he did this, you have to stop. He has authority. That's what we do with the devil. He has authority. The police officer has authority. You just put your hand, put his hand up, and you just come to a screeching halt and stop, and you wait for what he's going to say to you. He says, "I want to just say, how are you?" No, he usually stops you for more than how are you. You want to go to Timmy's? No. He doesn't say that. He could if he wants to, but he'll stop you. So same with us. Jesus said, if we take authority, he said, "The enemy, you stop in the name of Jesus right now." He has to stop. But we have to believe that it does not happen automatically because you're going to try it out. This is something we must believe. And we said that righteousness means this, right standing with God. Jesus gave us right standing with God. We didn't have that before we were born again. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man that be in Christ, everybody say, "I be in Christ." This is the way some people say it themselves, I be in Christ. I be in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ right now. How many people know that I'm in Christ and you're in Christ? If you're born again, you're in Christ. So we're in Christ. What about those people in Christ? If you go all the way down to verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5:17 first, and then all the way down to verse 21, it tells us in there that we're representatives of God on this world. We're ambassadors. An ambassador is some citizen from other country in another country representing the authorities from that nation, whatever. So we're representing God over here. Yeah. Amen. Hey, what's happening over here? Come on, you can't have that. I'm representing God right now. Amen. Right? Devil, leave that guy alone. Right? So you're representing authority there of God, of citizen of heaven. So in 5:21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said, "He who knew no sin," that's talking about Jesus, "became sin for us." He became a sin offering for us. He became all that we are on the cross. Okay? He became sin for us that we might be made. Everybody say made. We might be made the righteousness of God in him. So if you're in him, if you be in him, then you are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God right now. Say, "I'm righteous." Now in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I got about 4 minutes left before this thing blows apart. Okay. Second Romans chapter. Okay. Where are we? Okay. So Romans 5:17. There's only one Romans. Romans 5:17. If by one man's offense, it's talking about Adam. Are you going to kick Adam when you see him in heaven? Of all the trouble I had, Adam, I won't tell you. But I forgive you. He says, if by one man's offense, death reigned. He's talking about spiritual death. Spiritual death. The Bible says that over in Galatians 5:17. Go to Galatians 5:17. No, excuse me. I'm sorry. Galatians 3 and 13. For a second. And go back to Genesis after chapter 3. Okay. Can you find that scripture? Galatians 3:13. Okay. Christ. Notice this. Christ hath he already done it. When he was on the cross and when he rose from the dead, he did this. Jesus did this when he died on the cross. He got a beating. He was made to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:20, when he said on the cross, he became sin and a sin offering for you and me. So Christ has redeemed us or bought us with his price of his blood and his death. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. No one could curse you. Every curse is canceled. It's canceled. Every curse. Okay, I was working up north once in a community, and a guy said to me, I'm going to curse you. I said, go ahead and try. Woo! Praise God. I'm a child of God. Amen. I got the blood of Jesus on me. Glory to God. Amen. I'm glad I knew that much. I'm glad I was taught. Listen, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? The curse of the law is threefold. Go back over here. Okay, it says, may the curse was cursed everyone that hangs on a tree. It's talking about Jesus. Okay, the curse of the law is threefold. Okay, spiritual death, poverty, and sickness and disease. Three curses that affect everybody. But the Bible says that we've been redeemed from that curse. We need to take authority over our financial area. We need to take authority over our bodies. We need to take authority over spiritual things that's going on in our lives, like depression and coming on your family. Take it, push it out of here. Doubt, unbelief, get out. We have to take authority over it. Go over back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. This is what God told, Adam. He said unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife, thou hast eaten the tree, which is a command of thee, saying, thou shalt not eat cursed ground. That's not the one. Thou shalt surely die. Can you look at it? I don't have my King James. Chapter 3, it's in there, maybe 15, 13, where it is. Come on. I should look in my own Bible. Okay, you're ruining my teaching that time here. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. I'll get it for you. I'll take care of you. Thank you. Praise God. Genesis chapter 3. Okay. Somebody help me out. Huh? 3:3. Come on. There it is. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Well, he ate it. He didn't die. He lived like, how long did he live after? He lived a long time. Several hundred years? He's talking about spiritual death. Listen, spiritual death comes first and then physical death. Okay, so it came, this curse and all that stuff came. Let's go back to Romans now. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Just want to see this very quickly so that we can see this plain by seeing those scriptures. Romans chapter 5. And, when we get to see this, it's amazing how this will open our eyes. No, go to verse 12. It says, wherefore, Romans 5, 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so sin or death passed onto all men. Verse 12. So he's talking about this death that God said to Adam. Okay? Thank God that in the first chapter of John's gospel, the Bible says that life came to all men through Christ. And so he says that this all men, but in verse 17 he says, for by one man's offense death reigned or had supremacy. The word reign means has supremacy or took dominion over, or kingship. Death reigned, or this spiritual death, which brings poverty, sickness, and disease, and spiritual death on all men. But Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. If we don't know that, it'll continue to keep coming. We have to stop it. Yeah. We have to stop things from happening in our own lives by taking authority what we permit in our lives. He says in here that by one man much more they which receive abundance of grace in the gift of righteousness. I wish I was righteous. No, you have the gift. God gave you freely the gift of righteousness. He gave it to you, gift of righteousness. What shall we do with that righteousness? We shall reign. We shall reign. We shall have authority and dominion. We take back our place. This is awesome. I know it's 12 o'clock and the chicken might be burning. But this is the way it is. God wants us to have our dominion. God wants, and there are benefits to that righteousness, right? The benefit is that we're going to take our place back. We're going to take authority back. We're going to protect what we have. And we're going to advance forward. There's no time for all that, but we're going to talk about that another time. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand up and close. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the wonderful presence, for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we want to thank you this morning. Oh, we thank you for that authority that we have in you. Thank you that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Thank you, Lord, that I rule and reign in my own life. Situations that come against me, we take authority over right now in the name of Jesus, because you've given us authority and power. You've given us our rightful place to reign. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for that place that you've given us. Thank you for that authority. Thank you for that power. The ability to cause good to come in our lives. The ability to stop the negative coming towards our lives. To stop the enemy from stealing from me. From stealing my joy. From stealing my victory. Thank you, Lord. So I dare to say today, Lord, I just yield my life to you today. I yield my whole spirit, soul, and body to you today. Lord Jesus, I know I'm born again. I know I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm turning away to you from these things that cause hindrances in my life. I'm coming to you today. Forgive me, Lord. I'm taking my rightful place as a man of God to pray effective prayers. To call those things that's being on in my life to make it so, as you say. Thank you. I call it done. I call my body healed. I call my finances and businesses in line with the Word of God to be prosperous and blessed. I call my children blessed, delivered. I call my money in that I need this week for whatever I need to do. I thank you, Lord, that my mind is at peace. My nerves are calm. That I'm not afraid. I'm going to push out faith right now in Jesus' name. I push faith out of my life. I push doubt out of my life. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be so, as he says. Thank you, Lord. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if somebody in this room right now, you've never been born again, you want to be born again, come to God and take your place today. Is there somebody here with everybody's eyes closed? I want to check this morning if you need to come to God. This is a crucial time across road in your life. If you're here, say, Pastor Roma, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I don't know for sure if I'm born again. I want to make certain today that I can get out from the curse and come into the blessing of God. I want to follow God. I want to know God. Is there somebody right now? I want you to lift their hand up at 1, 2, 3. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up if you've never been born again. You want to be born again this morning, if that's you. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you want to be born again, I want you to see, lift your hand up straight up high. I'm looking out right now. Lift your hand up right now. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else with this young lady? Anybody else with this young lady? If you want to be saved today, you want to come to God today. Or if you've been out of fellowship, you need to come back to God. If that's you right now, lift your hand up. I'm looking around right now. You want to get right with God. If that's you. Thank you, Lord. Young lady. Step out of your chair right now. Meet me right here. I'm going to pray for you right now. Come on. Thank you, Lord God. Everybody lift your hands up and start praising God right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. This is your first time? First time you come to Jesus? You were saved way back? You're just coming back to God now? You want to give yourself to God? Give me your hands. Thank you. Everybody lift your hands up. Thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, Lord. I receive forgiveness again. I'm coming back to you to serve you 100%. As best as I know how, I'm giving you my all today. My spirit, soul, and body. I want to thank you this morning for this opportunity that's been afforded to me. Thank you. Right now, I am forgiven because I'm here and confessing you as my Lord, my Savior. You wash away my sins. I'm now born again. Ha ha ha. Say, fill me with your spirit again. In Jesus' name. I want a couple of ladies come with me over here. Come on over here. Come on over here. A couple of ladies. Come on. Just put your hands gently on her. Father, we just could bless her. We're going to bless her. Father, we bless you. What is your name?
Melody.
Melody. So that we bless Melody in the name of Jesus. We command every demon in hell that's been assigned to her to stop right now. We take authority over these areas in her life. We command them to leave in the name of Jesus. We stop the attack. We apply the blood of Jesus of protection around her life and her family. I pray that you'd make everything good come to her right now, whatever she needs, money, people, loved ones, and jobs, or whatever she needs to come into her life. And she'll see your goodness. She'll sing about your goodness.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. God said he's opening up doors for you. Thank you, Lord. I see you serving God. I see you serving him with joyfulness. I see children involved. I see some young man involved. I see a family involved serving you with you. And I see your joyful face and your grateful in the heart. I see that. The Lord says, I have good plans for you. Good things coming your way. Get ready to be blessed out of your socks. Hallelujah. Everybody lift your hands and start praising God. Oh, it's a wonderful time this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Are you from town? You're from town? Well, I'm going to assign my wife to you. Special envoy. Amen. She's going to be a sister. Yeah. And she's going to help you with whatever you need today. Before you leave, give you some material and bless you. And meet us over here. We're going to talk with you just for a couple more minutes, okay? Bless you. Let's give her a hand, everybody. Come on. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Remember, tonight is leadership session. We're going to be meeting tonight. Well, God bless you. We see you Wednesday, some of you. Maybe Tuesday, some of you. Whatever. Praise God. Have a wonderful afternoon. All right.